Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.
It is the conversation on Lagos Talks 91.3, and I am Olaoluwa Awe, the news lady. It is time to talk about the power situation in the country. And today I have a specialist in the power sector. You know, this is someone who has dedicated years of his time, his energy, his resources to understanding the power sector in Nigeria, to different advocacies for different things. He has practically worked with different people on different levels and in different areas and sectors in the, you know, or subsectors in the power sector. I'm talking about the convener Power Up Nigeria in the person of Mr. Adetayo Adegbinle. Adetayo, how are you? Hello, Adetayo, can you hear me?
Oh, Lou, I can hear you.
Yes, yes. And he's speaking to me live from Abuja. You are in Abuja, right?
Yes, at the moment.
Yes, Abuja, Nigeria, the seat of power.
Hopefully,
you are closer to the Minister of Power and all the decision makers.
Unfortunately, I am not. Unfortunately, I'm not close to the Minister of Power, but we are doing all our best to try and get him to do what is right by Nigerians.
Okay. So there's been a lot of development in the power sector recently, and the most notable one is the announcement we woke up to very early this week. I mean, that's like this month, and which is the tariff hike. That, as you know, certain things will happen and they would open your eyes to so many other things that have been happening that you have refused to pay attention to. And I think this is that season for us. First thing first, I would like you to react to this tariff hike, which is the first thing. Then we'll now talk about the deeper issues. We'll talk about, you know, all of the other development in the power sector for now. So what is your reaction? What is your initial reaction to the tariff hike?
You see, it is always interesting when I hear tariff hike. Is it really a tariff hike? Yes, there's increment in price, yes, but it is practically what they have just done is to remove subsidy on electricity for a particular band. And it wasn't even like removed completely. It was like, okay, take a particular percentage, let them be able to pay as much as possible, as close to the true cost of electricity. You understand? So if we say tariff hike, that means that we have been paying the, you know, true cost of electricity before, and they are now hiking it because of one or two components that are changing. But in this situation, what we have more of it is the true cost of electricity, which nobody has been paying in Nigeria so far. The closest we have come was the MITO, the tariff order of December 2022. That's the closest that we have come to pay anything close to electricity, the cost of electricity. And it's not even for everybody. It's just for people in major parts. In fact, this major part, the affluent parts of Lagos, you know, those are in band A's in Lagos, under Ikeja, under Eko, and Abuja, then some part of Port Harcourt.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
I just wanted to know if you're still talking or there's a break in transmission. And if you're going to say the true cost of power of power, what would you say the true cost of power is? Because you are saying even this one we call tariff hike now is the subsidy removal. You said it's subsidy removal in electricity, and it is partial. It is not even
for band A customers.
Yes, and you are saying that it is not even total. It is partial.
Well, it's technically partial, right? Because I think what they I think they were still about 18% left, you know, for those band A's.
So they still like an 18%. You're saying they're still an 18% subsidy on electricity for band A users. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, for those on band A, there's still about 18% that government is still carrying. But you see, this is what I would like us to consider, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people that we are talking about, they're just 15% of customers in the industry. They are, in fact, they are less than 15%. That's number one. Number two, these are the people that are living in eyebrow areas. These are people that are living, I mean, they are technically well off. These are people that can afford to buy fuel to run their generator because they live in city centers and they need power for this and that and that. Now, what we are saying is, you see, and another thing I also add at this point is Nigerians don't seem to understand or seem to realize that if you don't pay this amount and you are not getting 20 hours of power supply, what it means is that you are going to be using alternative sources of power, diesel, petrol, gas, generators, you know, solar. When you calculate how much you are paying that alternative, it's much, much cheaper for you to pay what the band A is taking, and I mean, is paying or will be paying, and be getting between that 20 and 24 hours power supply.
Mm.
Practically where I live, where my family lives,
okay.
This is like the fourth or fifth year. I don't have a generator. I don't have a need for a generator. Why? Because I have, in fact, for weeks on end, sometimes our lights don't blink.
Really?
Yes. And I know there are also selected places in Lagos too that I have similar experiences. I don't live in Lagos, but I know there are places like that that have similar experiences in Lagos. Now, what government has said is, what industry has said is, let us allow people that are enjoying, I mean, those people that have the access. It's not everywhere. I'm going to say this. A lot of people that have been complaining are people that said, oh, we bought our transformers ourselves. You are not affected. Your tariff is still frozen. If you don't have 20 hours of power supply, you don't even have any reason to. Don't bother yourself with this issue because it doesn't concern you. Where they are talking to the people that that they've made investment in their area. I don't think anybody buys transformer. I don't think any individual buys transformer in Ikoyi, for instance. I don't think any individual buys transformer in Ikeja. But if you go to a place like what's that place that's towards Mira on the way to Ogun State,
mm-hmm.
then you start hearing, oh, we have to pay for our new transformer. Oh, we have to fix the transformer ourselves. Why? Because the investment that had been made in the power sector at did not get to that point. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So those people that we have the capacity to deliver to, let us deliver to them and let them pay as close as possible to the true cost of the electricity that they are consuming, right? Meanwhile, there's also a factor of cross-subsidy in this tariff. Because what that means is that for all the other bands that have now been frozen, somebody is paying up for that tariff, for the tariff shortfall.
All right. But another thing we also need to clarify is that you did say that some people are actually really enjoying the 20-hour power supply and some areas are not for one reason or the other. Why is that even so in the first place? I mean,
right.
People expect to live in a fair society where public amenities are people are fairly considered for the enjoyment or the supply and enjoyment of public amenities like power, water, and all of those things. We don't expect that the government or companies begin to look at faces and all of that. Just provide it across board and let people patronize based on their capacity. For example, if I'm living in an area, they give me 20-hour power supply, I have a prepaid meter. If I can only afford 5,000 naira energy in a day, let me pay and let the rest go to those who can afford it, rather than just have some areas enjoy power supply, some areas don't. What are the factors responsible for some areas having more power supply than the others?
All right, Olalu, I'm going to say this. I'm sure engineers will understand this better. There is something about capacity, right?
Okay.
There's something about transformational capacity, and it is at different level, at feeder level, at your DT level, you know. Even those transmission substations that you see, they all have their different capacities, right? So if I have a 60 MVA capacity transformer, for instance, don't expect me to be able to take the same amount of energy that a 100 MVA would take. Okay. Do you understand that?
Okay.
It's like you are driving a Mercedes Benz, and somebody is driving a Toyota Corolla. When they are on the express, you don't expect the same kind of performance from the two vehicles. No matter how expert, if you bring a Formula One driver to that Toyota, you won't get that response that you get from a Benz.
Okay.
Do you understand? So there are those capacities, which also includes things like installations. I'll give you an instance. I think one that you are very familiar with. Look at Magboro, for instance. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they've been on your program a couple of times to talk about, in your former place of work. They've been on your programs. They've talked about their inability.
Their issues and all of that. Maximum, yeah.
There is a maximum capacity that the substation can give to that axis of the community. It is from the same substation that places like Aripo, part of Bega, are also getting power supply from Ikeja Electric. This is simply because the capacity that Ikeja Electric can evacuate from that place is higher than what IBDC can evacuate from same substation. Another thing people don't seem to put into consideration is that, see, all these places that we're talking about in band B's, most of the places that we're talking about in band C, D's, and E's are usually places that self-develop. Oh, there people are buying land in Mowe. Everybody rush there. There is no proper planning, right? Mm-hmm. There's no proper layout. There's no proper estimate of how many people, you know, the area is, you know, designed for, all these kind of things. So, and when they get there, oh, we want light. They keep extending. Then what that happens is that they extend to the point that they are so far from the last point of major investment. Now, I'm just laying this foundation to also now, I will now go back to historically. Of course, we all know about NEPA.
Yes.
NEPA was a Nigerian government thing. From transmission to, from generation to transmission to distribution, everything is run by one organization, being funded by federal government. So at that point, it was our thing. So if anybody still lies on it, it is Nigerian light that they are stealing. Fast forward to the Olusegun Obasanjo's administration in the early 2000s. They looked at the whole scenario and said, come on, government cannot continue to play in this space. Government does not have the resources to make the requirement investment. For instance, instead of individuals buying transformers and that we are experiencing now, in those days, of course, government will have bought the transformer, installed it in all those places. They will have planned ahead and stuff like that. But at the point, of course, the previous military years too, about 20-something years that we experienced military years before that last administration, made the situation so terrible because there was no investment in the NEPA. So everything was scattered. So that government looked at it and said, we cannot continue like this. Let us try and bring in investors to come into this space. Private investors. So they decided to privatize generation. At the point to privatize generation, what that means is that the person that is bringing his money to generate power has made a very huge investment. And that investment is not in Naira, it's in dollars. You ask why is dollar affecting the rate of electricity tariff, that is part of the reason. That's the foundation. 80% of our gas plant is powered by gas. Of our plants, power plants is powered by gas.
Okay.
That's the first source of input.
80%.
Yes, over 80% of our plants in Nigeria at the moment that gives power to the national grid. That's why when there is gas shortage, or you keep reading that one pipeline got busted and it affected power, that is the reason. So that is one. So at the point that we prioritized GenCos, it became a business concern. Government decided to hold on to transmission, which is like the middleman. So transmission will take power from GenCos and will it to DISCOs. And DISCOs will now distribute and retail to end users. Now, another major issue, bottleneck along the line, is that transmission itself is limited in the amount of power that they can bring down to DISCOs.
Okay.
Now, before we now start talking about our distribution transformers, the feeders, you know, at the lower level that we see, you are walking down the street, you see poles and everything. That's most times those are distribution infrastructure. Again, government decided to privatize distribution infrastructure, distribution generally, retail of electricity. So what that does is that for every one kobo that is lost in the system, right, it affects the whole value chain. Recently, you recall that recently, I think by late December, early January to like mid-March, power supplies were so terrible. I'm sure you also read in the news that it is because we are not able to pay the gas suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
Gas suppliers that sell gas to GenCos to generate power. All these are private concerns. So the moment you receive a 5,000 naira bill, you decide to pay 2,000 naira, that your 3,000 naira that refuse to pay compounds. It will add to my own. It will add to the next person's own. It will add to the next house own. By the time all these things come up and it gets into the DISCO, when the DISCOs collect the money, those money is not for the DISCOs. The tariff that we are collecting is not for the DISCOs. It is for the value chain. So it's only the DISCOs that interface with us. So DISCOs will come, collect the money, remit it. Market operators will collect the money and say, okay, DISCOs, this is your own share for the month. This is your own share. So everybody takes a share of the losses.
Okay, so let me quickly come in at this point. This challenge you mentioned, now this problem you mentioned, is one of the problems that the intervention of prepaid meters or the adoption of having prepaid meters across, you know, the customer areas is supposed to solve. In such a way that when people have their prepaid meters, if they do not pay or subscribe, they do not get energy. Yeah. So there's no need to pay part of their bill. And, you know, so many people question their bills, the estimated bills. You can't question it. It's what you use that you pay for. It's what you pay for that you use. But yet, we understand that there are still millions of Nigerians that are metered after several programs and schemes and interventions. There are even millions of Nigerians who have money. They want meters and they can't even seem to get. What exactly is the problem?
All right. Again, you are right on that observation. Meters is supposed to solve the problem the liquidity problem to a large extent. And that is one of the things that we keep pushing. And we keep asking that this government make happen. But you see, this is where the biggest challenge is.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I start sounding like I've been in this system for so long that I have seen the length and breadth. So if I sit down with consumers, I can turn and start talking about why the consumers should not be charged. But at the same time, my focal interest is in the health of the power sector.
Okay.
So, I mean, it takes care of both ends of the consumers. And if the investors are not there making their own money back, there is no money for them to come and invest. So if there is a loss, right? If there is a loss at any point, trust me, the first thing the investors will do is not to talk of investment. Metering is investment. There has been several schemes that has been used to try and, you know, close up the metering gap, but has not failed, has not worked out. So we have said part of the recommendation that we're also working on with the government at the moment, especially the regulators, is that they should allow institutional financing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Allowing institutional financing would open up the sector and people can take a loan on your behalf, pay for the meters and get it installed on your networks. Fine. But we have not been able to achieve that level of success yet with them. But we are still considering and we are still looking at it. But the other end of the argument in this case, mm-hmm, is also that, you know, we also have issues with, you know, energy theft. Energy theft, trust me, that's a discussion.
Before we go to energy theft, Aditario,
we are not even going to.
You mentioned that financing is an issue and you are working on a situation where on the part of the consumers you have maybe banks or so that can give people loans, right?
Institutional funding.
That can give people loan to help them get the meters. If I understand not what you
people.
Mean by institutional funding.
Not people, please.
Okay.
I'll give you an instance.
Okay.
Let's say in your estate, right? Let's take an estate for instance. Maybe
right.
There are about 1,000 people that need metering there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have been franchised to meter them. What will happen is that I will go to a bank or to any of this institutional funding and tell them, I have 3 years to pay you back your money. I have 5 years to pay you back your money. I need X amount of money to meter 1,000 people. So I'll take that loan, bring it to you. Now, part of the extreme end of this conversation is that because I know that it's a debt that I've used to install your meters, I will ensure that your meter is not bypassed. So I will have to find the technology that will ensure that I monitor those meters.
Yeah.
As I'm installing, they are feeding back home. So I know that you're not. I am putting data loggers there that will tell me if your assessment of your house says that you'll be buying recharge every 3 weeks, and that 3 weeks goes into 4 weeks to 5 weeks, then we'll come and physically visit you to come and check the health of that meter. If the meter gets burnt, I replace it immediately because I know that I'm not making money unless you reduce power
meter.
Supply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by extension, what that means is that I will now need to go and be begging people that are giving light or that are sharing, allocating supply to say, please, you see that estate? My investment is tied there. They need more energy. I don't know if you see how that thing progresses.
No, I'm trying to understand how that helps the situation. I know that there are meter asset providers and a good number of them.
The meter asset providers are there for you to go to as an individual. So they go and buy one, two at a time, or maybe my house needs six maximum because I have six flats in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the meter asset providers. But the interesting part of it is that even because of the crash of Naira recently, this one, that dollar went from 400 to 700, from 700 to like one something. Even the meter providers have stopped supplying meters. So even if you apply it now, there are chances that you won't be able to get one immediately.
Okay, so are you saying that foreign exchange is the major reason why meter asset providers are unable to provide meters? Or what exactly is the reason? And there are also government schemes for the provision of meters. Why does it seem like they've been put on a hold? What exactly is going on?
Well, during the last administration, there is what we call the National Mass Metering Program. And in the phase zero, they promised to install 1 million meters. They didn't get to that value. In the phase two, they promised to do about another 4 million meters. While the phase one was supposed to do another 4 million meters, while the phase two was supposed to do around like 1.2 million. It is still the same challenge that we are talking about. Government inconsistencies. After the phase zero, the CBN that was supposed to give the loan for the metering said they don't have money to loan, or they don't have loans to give out anymore. So
okay, so the CBN was supposed to give the meter asset providers loans to get the meters, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so is it impossible for the meter asset providers to get loans from elsewhere to finance them?
Okay, we only get that loan if that loan is going to be insured. If the payment is going to be insured. The problem we have right now is that even the payment track is not insured. There's no assurance that if you take a loan and install a meter at a place, your payment will be guaranteed.
I'm not quite sure. Is it because of meter bypass?
It's part of it.
Because by default, if a meter is supplied to an area or a building where electricity is being used, the meter is supposed to be active. You know, if the person is using electricity, money is supposed to be paid to the distribution companies and all of that. And another thing is that for the meters, with my engagement with distribution companies, meters are bought. You either pay outrightly for the meter before it is installed, or you make a commitment, you pay initial payment, you make a commitment to pay for the meter. Like, the payment for the meter is different for the payment of the electricity you are using. So I am trying to understand the relationship between electricity usage and meter funding, because this is something that in my own experience people either pay outrightly for or pay in installments. They pay for the meter separately from the energy they are using.
See, the system will tell you that you're not meant to pay for electricity for meter, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea for MAP is that you front load, or you even loan the DISCO. That's the word. You loan the DISCO the money. That's why you pay it in advance. And NEC regulation order has also said that the DISCO should pay you back. Especially all those that live under Ikeja Electric, ECO. In fact, all DISCOs, if you buy your meter in the last 2-3 years with MAP, by now, they should have refunded you your money. If they have not refunded your money, then please go and ask them for it. You know, so the MAP, the idea behind MAP is, you know, is to say, oh, we don't have money to install you, Olalu.
Mm-hmm.
Bring X amount of naira so that we can pay them to pay you back in energy. It's not cash, it's in energy. But unfortunately, the scheme too has also fallen victim to the to supply.
Okay.
People that are bringing in meters that are supposed to supply you meter are not also able to anymore because they cannot afford the foreign exchange to bring in meters. Part of the solution to that, as we have pushed, is that federal government should patronize local meter manufacturers, encourage, in fact, for me, I would say the subsidy that we are paying on the city tariff should be turned, you know, to, you know, profitable ventures, productive ventures like that, so that they can produce these meters at a cost that is naira-lized, and they can install it in homes, you know, so that people can also get off paying estimated billing and being disillusioned and dissatisfied with the system. But at the end of this all is that we need a government that is ready to, that is willing. I mean, what we call this is power sector reform. You need to be reform-minded for you to take some decisions. And the idea behind reform is, okay, we have tried this. It's not working as we wanted. Let us try this. In fact, part of the things we're also pushing for is the liberalization.
Mm.
I mean, if you need a phone, for instance, you don't need to go to any of the service providers. What you do is you carry your bag, go enter market. There are basic specific standards that telephones in Nigeria, you know, have to comply with.
Yeah.
We really don't have such compilation of standards that meters should comply with. Anybody that wants to go and you're gonna buy, put it on their network and allow the discos to configure it so that they can do their billing through it. But well, I understand that the regulators are working on something. The details is what I cannot speak to yet.
All right, thank you very much, Adetayo. At this point, let me open up the conversation to our listener. If you're listening, if you have any power or electricity question, or you have any issue, you can call in. Adetayo Adegbinle is a power sector expert. He's been, you know, have running advocacy. In fact, he has an NGO that is in the power sector advocating and, you know, liaison with the different stakeholders in this sector for years now. So, and he's had some experiences helping people deal with certain issues. So, call in, let us know what your questions are, what your recommendations are concerning the power situation in the country. The studio line is 0809-234-5913. 0809-234-5913. That is the studio line. It is also a WhatsApp line. You can send a WhatsApp message to that line or a voice note. Alternatively, you can call 0809-191-3913, 0809-222-0913, or 02015150913. You can also call 0201-515-1913. And back to you, Adetayo.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so we already have calls, so let me just entertain calls so that we can open up the conversations. Hello, good morning.
Hi, hola.
Good morning. What's your name? From where are you calling?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Remy.
Remy? From Akoka?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Go on.
Yeah. Few months ago, NEC fined the discos across the nation. They were also asked to credit the account of the customers they overbilled. And they were given a timeline that after they've done that, they should publish the account of those they credited. Have they done that? I think the answer is no. What is NEC doing about that? Because NEC was so quick to come out with this report that there is a price hike, and it was implemented. It was like instantly implemented. But this one that the one people is yet to be implemented, and who's following up? Who's going to speak on this?
Thank you, thank you, Remy. Thank you, Remy. Aditari, I hope you've noted that. Let's take another call. Hello, hello. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Adedoyin calling from Ikorodu.
Welcome, Adedoyin.
Yeah, I want your guest here to enlighten me more concerning the PPA meter bill. So I bought my OPP meter last year.
Okay.
So, but I was when I was listening to him, I thought he said the people that supply the PPA meter supposed to pay me back for the PPA meter, but I don't understand. So I want you to explain better.
All right, thank you very much, Adedoyin. Adetayo, obviously you have some more explanations to do on that, because I just didn't want us to get stuck at some point and not have time to talk about other things. I was still going to ask for an explanation, like clarification on that. So
there's nothing to clarify.
Okay.
Like I said, the money you pay for that meter is meant to be a loan to the discos. It's not meant to be your contribution to their network.
Wait, regardless of the scheme.
Say that again.
I said, regardless of the scheme, I know there was a time when it was strictly meters asset providers. And I know there was a time when the National Mass Metering Program started. I know, so there are different, I know there are different metering schemes. And it was the National Mass Metering Program it was under that scheme that the federal government promised to provide meters free of charge. And I remember at some point when it looked as if there was hiccup in the program, in the program, I know at some point, I don't know who came up with the idea, but the distribution company started flying this idea of okay, just pay initially. At some point, your money will be refunded to you because you got the meter under a scheme where the meter should have been given to you for free. But I understand that people got meters under different schemes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me quickly explain this.
Yeah.
Number one, like you said, there are different metering schemes. There is meter asset provider. If you get your meter under the meter asset provider scheme, which you have paid for the meter before they come, before they come to install it for you, the NEC has made the order that every person that paid for meter should be refunded. If you have not been refunded, please reach out to your discos. The other schemes, like the National Mass Metering Program, is anybody that gets meters under that scheme gets it for free. Most times, people just stay in their house and they knock. Installers will knock on their doors and install these meters and go. This is because CBN gave the loan to discos to meter you. Do you understand?
Yeah. Okay, so all right. So how exactly do you even go about this? And that is one thing I want you to help us with today. So many people have issues with their distribution companies for different reasons. For example, there are people with transformer issues, there are people with meter issues, there are people with band issues. For example, since this new tariff was announced, people have had to really understand, what band of customer am I? Am I under band A? For example, they said if you use at least 20 hours of electricity per day, you are band A. If you use minimum of 16 hours, you are band B. If you use minimum of 12 hours, you are band C. If you use minimum of 8 hours, you are band D. If you use minimum of 4 hours per day, you are band E. And some people who have been categorized under or classified under band A are saying, we do not use up to 20 hours. And maybe there are days once in a while when we get 20 hours, but it is not every day. How do you fight for your rights? Or how do you deal with these distribution companies in such a way that you get what has been said that you should get?
All right. Number one thing is that you have been you've been involved in this conversation, and you'll be very familiar with the terrain. So you have, even if you have questions, I know you know people you can call and say, oh, what's happening here? But one thing I have also discovered about us Nigerians is that things that should concern us, things that should bother us, things that should be, that should give us headache, are the things that don't bother us. And one of them, somebody was talking on TV last night, we're on a panel, and he was telling me that Nigerians don't know about bans. And if I tell you that bans has been on for 4 years, will you believe it?
Wow.
The service reflective tariff that was introduced in September 2020, and banding is basically premised on the idea of, where we started from. If you're living in an affluent area, if you're living in a place where there is better power infrastructure, right, that can give you that thing, that's give you this sort of energy, which gives you a minimum of 20 hours a day. You belong to band A. You're an elite in the society. You're a big person. The next phase is those people that they can also take similar capacity, but they cannot take as much as 20 hours in a day. So if you belong to this, between 16 and 20 hours maximum in a day, you also belong to band B. You pay a different tariff. Now, for places that were mentioned in Bafo, way that don't have access to energy, they are close to not getting anything, and they are far from the grid, from substations, you pay the cheapest because definitely the quality of service that is getting to you is smallest. That was the concept behind, the banding. So it's not a new idea. And that's why it is very strange when today, in everybody, I don't know whether it's because we just want to hit the federal government, or we feel the government is not doing enough, then let us hit them. No. We need to understand what we are speaking to. If you are in band B or band C or band D, this tariff increment does not affect you, number one. This tariff review, what it does is that it makes people that are actually enjoying the light, right? The people that are supposedly enjoying the light, let me use that English, let them pay for the quality of, you know, for receiving that service.
But now, but I did tell you, the question I'm asking is that if some people have been classified.
Let me quickly add this, Olaoluwa. If for any reason, you are on band A, or you have been placed on band A by your disco, and you are not receiving that 20 hours, NEC has published approved band A feeders. So what you should go and find out is what feeder you belong to. Go to their website. Or, in fact, as the order that came out this morning says that all discos should make that publication and put it on their social media and put it on their website. So please go to their website. Go and look at what feeder do we belong to. Go and look for the name of your area there. You will see the name of your area. So it's not as if it's not technical. You will see the name of your area.
Okay.
The process area to do that covers you, you will see it. That's number one. Number two, if for any reason you are charged for band A and you're not on band A, there are very big chances that once you report, like I'll give you the next call center number. So if you report to your disco self, don't report to the disco, that kind of thing. Report to next street. AEDC, Abuja Electricity Distribution Company, was just fined about 200 million yesterday for putting people that are not supposed to be on band A on band A. So there are serious consequences that are following up with this.
All right.
Are you with me?
I'm with you. And which brings me to the question one of the callers asked earlier, that from time to time, NEC sanctions, they give instructions, you know, they sanction, but oftentimes we don't see the end of it. We don't know what has become of it. So sometimes when we hear that some distribution companies have been fined and all, we do not know what to do with that information. We don't know whether to trust it, to believe it. We don't know if it's just some gimmick or some scheme. But in your own experience in the power sector, do you think...
Do you have any reason not to trust or believe when you hear that the disco was sanctioned?
No, because, for example, at some point...
NEC gave
some distribution companies target in terms of meter allocation and all of that. At some point, some distribution companies were asked to review the way they do estimated billing, because there was a time estimated billing was an issue, and so many people felt like they were giving us estimated bills that were way higher than even people that are using prepaid meter, and it was just ridiculous. And NEC ordered a review that distribution companies must ensure that the amount of estimated billing they are giving these people is very close or at par, or is reasonable compared to, you know, areas that are using prepaid meter. And to date, so many people have not seen a significant difference in the estimated billing given to them. Now, how do you even know if this distribution company, you just hear fines and fines, you hear instructions, but you do not see an end to it. But in your own engagement, because I know you engage with these people at different levels, what do you think about these sanctions? Do you really think they hold water? Do you really think NEC is very serious, you know, about holding these distribution companies accountable?
All right. First of all, the solution to estimated billing is metering. There is no argument, there is no back and forth on that. The solution to estimated billing is metering. On the issue of sanctions, I'm going to say this. Yeah? It's not because it is first of all, you need to understand the laws. You need to understand the regulations. Then you cannot intervene effectively. I see a lot of us don't even understand what the regulation says. So it is difficult for us to even know when to call it out or to say, oh, yeah. If you ask many of the callers, if they've heard of the Consumer Protection Regulation, it's a consolidated law that says what happens to what when, you know, there's an infraction and what you do. Many of us don't know about it. It's an issue. We need to understand that first. Then two, when we now know about it, we need to be able to now be able to say we are presenting our case. You know, if you call me and tell me, those discos, they are this and that, you know, you're all the invective and everything. Most times it does not help me because you have not told me what exactly the problem is. But when you open up and say, oh, this is the problem, then you can say, oh, okay, this is against this regulation. Then we can take it to the ombudsman that stands between discos and consumers and get resolution. FCCPC is there. Lagos State have their own Consumer Protection Commission. Even NEC have forum offices, you know, all across the country. We cannot take it to them and say, oh, see what you have experienced. If that does not work, we can escalate to the head office in Abuja, then they work. I'll give you an instance. This Band A feeder issue, right? For Ikeja Electric, only 45 feeders has been approved out of about 340 feeders that Ikeja Electric owns. Only 45 are approved for to be Band A. Now, when Ikeja Electric was going to publish, they published about 95. Immediately, that was noticed. It was escalated straight up to NEC. And NEC immediately asked them to reverse. Even though you might be having conversation, but until it's approved, but only 45 has been approved so far. That came into effect almost immediately. There are other examples. The issue of discourse putting people on the bands that they do not belong to. That was what AEDC was sanctioned for. And were penalized 200 million. This morning, they did that day for yesterday. They did the sanction yesterday. This morning, another order came out immediately demanding that all discos should publish on their website, on their social media, and do all the feeders that are on Band A, the price of it, that nobody else is going to be affected, and that if anybody is affected, they should get back to NEC on it.
All right. Thank you.
All these things are there to sort of, and until you actually test the law, you don't know how efficacious, you don't know the efficacy of the law until you test it.
Now, I know Ikeja Electric already published 41 areas that are currently enjoying consistency in the supply. I guess those ones that are on Band A.
Yes.
And that's a long list. I thought I'll be able to read them out for our listener, but I'm moving away from that. It's a very long list.
Please help us put it on your own social media handle, on your website too, if you can, if you think it. But there are reports. So now what the list Nigerians can do instead of complaining, instead of the venting, is go through that list. The list is self-explanatory enough.
Mm-hmm.
Once you see the list, you know which one covers your area or not. If your name of your if the name of your area is on that list, and you're not enjoying, not enjoying the minimum of 20 hours power supply, please raise a flag, and that those kind of issues will be addressed.
And I even saw a report now that NEC has also ordered the distribution companies that the moment customers can prove that they've not been enjoying the number of power supply that is due to them by their band, then they should be dropped to the lower band after a certain amount of days, maybe 7 days or so. Like, if they can prove that consistently for a while we are supposed to enjoy 20 hours power supply, you are not giving us 20, then you drop them to band B based on the number of our power supply that they are enjoying. Okay, so I just want to take you on one thing before we call it a day, and let me also perhaps pick a call. Hello, good morning.
He hasn't answered my question.
net gain I gave another 2 months ago that DISCO should credit the account of overbilled customers before March 24th, and they must publish the accounts on different dailies. Have they done that? Who is holding neck for that, or the DISCO that are not doing that? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. On that issue of, I know definitely that NEC has penalized this course. I cannot speak immediately now to
whether they've done the needful. Okay.
Yes, I cannot speak to the, how will I put it?
To the level of compliance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. And I kind of believe that this is also a joint responsibility. I'm sure you are not a DISCO, you are not a distribution company. You know, if NEC has said that, okay, distribution company should pay me a particular amount of money, I know that I'm one of those people that is supposed to be paid. If the distribution companies don't pay, it is also my responsibility to raise the alarm and say, okay, I'm one of those people that should have been paid or refunded, but I have not gotten anything, and also escalate to NEC and all of that. I'm very sure if a good number of us also make the noise, we will be heard. Because I'm sure it's not just one person that is due for that refund. And Michael from Ikorodu says, good morning, the news lady and your guest. Thanks for the great job. I made payment to Ikeja Electric Disco for about 3 years now. They didn't give me my meter. They didn't refund my money, in which my proof of payment is here with me. And I have already paid for another meter in which they installed, but I want to refund for the one I paid before. What can I do? Very quickly, Aditayo, how do you advise him?
Please write to the DISCO. Let us know what their response will be. Give the evidence of everything.
Mm.
If it's difficult for you to go physically, you can send it by email to customercare@ikejaelectric.com. I'm sure that's under Ikeja.
Yes, so yes.
That'll be customercare@ikejaelectric.com.
Okay. All right, thank you very much for that. So just one last thing as we wrap this up. You did mention that people are categorized into different bands based on the facility, I mean, the electricity facilities around them, the capacity it can take and transmit and distribute. Is it impossible for everyone to have equipment that can distribute and, you know, transmit on band A level in a situation where, you know, those substations and, you know, transmission equipments that can do 20-hour power supply are limited to certain areas, while some people are just there to manage whatever equipment that is distributing? Maybe can't we just have it across board, have these facilities upgraded and unified across board?
Well, this,
hello, Aditayo.
I'm here. I can hear you clearly.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Aditayo?
Hello? Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Okay, go on. Very quickly.
All right. No, see, when I spoke about the infrastructure, it is transparent to consumers. What consumers will see is the number of hours of power supply that is delivered to their area. They don't have any business with the infrastructure. You understand? So what you should look out for is the number of hours of supply to your area.
So whose responsibility is it to provide the infrastructures that enables for the supply and distribution of 20-24 hours power supply?
There are two layers of people that are involved in providing that infrastructure. One is transmission. The transmission needs to be able to wheel from the GenCo, the generating companies, down to the neighborhood first. Then the DISCOs also need to have the capacity to be able to take it from the from transmission and, you know, distribute it to homes. So there are two layers to it. First of all, you need the transmission infrastructure to be able to do it. Then two, you need the distribution infrastructure to be able to do it.
So, by default, the onions lie on the government and the companies, the distribution companies, to upgrade their facilities in different parts
of the... With TCN, then distribution companies are the lower end, yes.
All right. Thank you very much for the conversation today. Aditayo Adigbinle, he's the convener at Power Up Nigeria. And it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much. I think it's been enlightening today. And a good number of us know now to pay more attention to what's going on. Know your band. Know what's going on. Interact more with your distribution companies. Follow up more, you know, with the Nigeria Electricity Regulatory Commission. And you said you're going to roll out the hotline for NEC very quickly.
Oh, give me a second.
Wow.
I left.
Okay, so but I'm sure you can go. The NEC has a website. Go to NEC's website. I'm very sure you see a hotline there, and you can get the email address and all for that. Thank you very much once again, Mr. Aditayo Adigbinle. I am Olaoluwa Awe, the news lady.
Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.